What's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It is Friday, Praise Break Friday, September the 2nd, 2016, and Taking the Lemons Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, I am excited about what's about to go down. That's right. Once again, I said it's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do when it's Praise Break Friday. We just act up the whole day. Anytime we feel like it, we just go in and just give God a praise. It don't matter what time. It don't matter how bad it is. It don't matter whatever's going on. Anytime we feel like it on Praise Break Friday, we might just let one go. You know what I'm saying? All right. So that's where we at. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio, all by myself. Y'all used to that by now, right? Yep. Hey, that's how it is. Look, y'all, let me give you the rundown on what's about to happen. Today's conversation, this should be good, right? Five things your praise team must do to win over your congregation. Five things your praise team must do to win over your congregation. Hopefully this is good. And man, I'm looking forward to this one. This is going to be good, man. If you're listening, you know some folks that's in some praise teams. You got some praise teams in your church. Maybe you can relate. Maybe they're already doing all these things. If so, wonderful. Either way, it's about to go down. So let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you've already called in, meaning you've already dialed in, simply push 1 on your mobile device and you can be a part of the show with your question and or comment. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we. That's Facebook.com. Go to Facebook. Our Facebook page is real simple. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And you can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, real simple. Tweet the show, LO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to have you be a part and follow us there. We'd love to read that live tweet on the air. If you want to email the show, real simple, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Man, excited about that. If you want to email us, we'd love to read that email live over the air as well. If you want to watch the live simulcast of the show, there's two options. You can go to our Facebook page. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. It should be the first thing on that screen. If you go there, first thing you ought to see is me, the brother, bald head brother, with the light shirt on. Y'all know what? Hey, it ain't a polo shirt today. What? The world might come to an end. The brother ain't wearing a polo. Man, y'all think everything going to be all right? I don't know. We'll find out at the end of the show. So anyway, but if you go to the Taking Limits Off page, it's right there at the top of the page. Again, that's Taking Limits Off/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to watch on Ustream, if you have the app on your phone, the Ustream app on your phone, simply go to Ustream, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You'll find us there. Hit the button, hit subscribe. If you go in the Ustream and you subscribe, you won't have to look for us no more. It will automatically be there, right? Right. Okay. And also, the chat rooms are open on both. So, man, I look forward to chatting with everybody, responding to your chats. Man, this is how we keep the show going, man. This lets me know I ain't in here all by myself, right? Okay. All right. So, look here. We got good stuff. And then last but not least, the podcast, iTunes podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account. Go to your podcast section. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Hit the subscribe button. Don't cost you nothing. Free 99. That's how much it costs. Free. F-R-E-E 99. That means nothing. Don't cost you nothing. So look here, y'all. We got an outstanding show. We're going to have some fun today. Man, we're going to try to keep it light, keep everybody in a good mood. We got some stuff we got to talk about. Y'all know how I do. We can't, you know, it's got to be, you know, got to be a little bit of both. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, man, look, we're going to jump right into, and I mean right into today's conversation. So we'll be right back, y'all. Again, today's convo, five things your praise team must do to win over your congregation. But we're going to go ahead and let one loose real quick. Be right back.
What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with? you better stop praising it, because somebody's going to think you crazy in a minute. Now, has God really been that good to you? Has he really been that good to you? One more time, so that you can let the enemy know that you still got the victory. One, two, three, God. Come on and praise him. Hey, I will. One more thing he's done. One, two, three, go!
Y'all better bless him. Come on, bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Come on. Somebody at their desk right now, they're putting their patent, and if they didn't think they would get in no trouble, if they didn't think they would get no trouble, they would just get up and just start running right now. I just get the feeling that somebody might be listening somewhere and might just say, you know what, I don't care what happened, but I'm going to give God a good 30 seconds. Huh? Come on, come on, come on. Hey, hey, it's Praise Break Friday. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I gotta bless his name. Come on, y'all. Y'all, I just felt that thing down in my shando. Hey, look here, look here, look here, y'all. We got some good stuff going, man. Good stuff going. I'm just excited about it. I am. Y'all know me. It don't take much to get me to go, right? Y'all know that, right? Everybody know it don't take much to get me to go. I mean, you know what? When you look at your circumstance, when you look at your life and where you are, and then I think about where, based off my own actions, where I should be, but the fact that God kept me. Come on, son. Yeah. When I think about where I should be, based off of how I have acted, based off how disobedient that I've been, based off the lifestyle that I used to live in, and based off of all of those things, when I think about those things, and then I think about the fact that he kept me anyway. See, I recognize that I ought to just bless him right then and there. See, I recognize I ought to just, hey. I don't know about you. I really don't know about you. I'm simply saying. Give me a minute. Give me a minute, y'all. Give me a minute.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house. Hey! Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost now. Because of your praise, God said, I just turned it around for you. And I know it's tight where you are. But if you believe God's going to turn it around, get up out of your seat and turn around one time. And say, God has already fixed it. God has already turned it around. Woo!
Woo! I just had to get that one. I just had to get me one in. I had to get one. You know, I had to be like Larry Trotter said, I brought my own shout with me. I just bring mine with me just in case y'all don't want to help me. I bring my own shout with me wherever I go. That's it. You got to kid. Come on now. Don't act like you don't know about it. Don't act like you don't know about it. Sometimes you got to take your own shout with you. Sometimes you go to some places. Anybody else been to some dead places and just had to bring your own? Y'all better stay. Don't act like you don't know. You ain't never been in some dry places and just had to shout your way out of a situation. Just had to praise your way out of some mess that you got yourself into. Come on, somebody. Hey, come on, you. Yeah. All right. Let me. I know. We got a show to do. I know. We got a show to do. But I'm just trying to. It's Praise Break Friday. It is Praise Break Friday, which means you just got to go. You just got to go. Look. Some of y'all. I see some folk listening. What's up? I see y'all in the room. When you come in the room now, let me say something. If you're on Ustream and you're sitting in the room and you go to the chat box, just say hello. Don't just sit there. Say hello. Say something. Talk back to the preacher. Y'all know y'all done been to the Baptist Church, the Kojic Church, the Apostolic Church. Say something to the preacher when he's talking to you. Come on, somebody. Say something. Thank you. Happy Praise Break. Right back at you. Say something. Just say something. Come on. Say something. Holler back at me. Say something now. Come on. Don't just sit in there like folks sit in church. See, I don't do the radio show for dead folks. See, dead folk lay in the cemetery. I like folk who like to participate. Come on, somebody. I like some folk who like to just every now and then just shout hallelujah just because. Just say thank you, Jesus, just because. Just say thank you, Lord, just because. Don't need no reason. Don't need no music. Just to say hallelujah. Them the folk I'm looking for. So, if you're going to come and you're going to sit, you're going to watch. Those of you watching on Facebook Live, I see you in the room. If you're going to just sit there and watch, say something. Don't just sit in church like a bump on the log. Might well get your practice in now. When you get to heaven, all they're doing is shouting hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy. That's all they're doing. So you might well start practicing now. Get your dance on. Lord, all right. Man, just went in all the way, didn't I? I know. Getting a little excited. Getting a little excited. Anyway, let's. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus, come on, somebody, and all that he's done for me. Hey, come on. Woo, all right, yeah. It's September. And let me, can I say why I'm speaking the way I'm speaking? Can I say why? Because I think about where we are. I think about all the stuff that's going on around us. I think about all the people that did not make it. And then I y'all wonder why I'm so crazy and so adamant about giving God praise. Because after August, we've had more homicides in the city of Chicago. Now, some of my listeners, I know y'all ain't in Chicago. Y'all kind of all over the place. I understand that. But this is my home base. I my church is here. My studio is here. I work in here. I live in here. So all of these things, I have to share them with you simply because the reason I get so excited, because when I look at this year, When I look at in the month of August, in the city of Chicago, and 90 people have been killed in the month of August, 90, that's 10 short of 100, 90 people have been killed in this city. Some in this very area, less than a mile away, some less than 3 or 4 blocks away from where I'm sitting right now. Recorded. And notice the word that the article says in the Chicago Tribune. 472 recorded homicides. Those are the ones that they have record of. They ain't talking about the ones that they have not found out yet or have yet to be ruled homicide. There have been 472 people killed here in the city of Chicago. And let me tell you why you ought to be blessing God and praising him right now. Because if you're in the city of Chicago and you can hear my voice and you can see me on the other side of the camera, that means you wasn't one of them, and you ought to be giving God some praise right now. That's why I'm so excited. Because even in the midst of murder and killings all around, and the fact that God has spared myself and my family and my loved ones because he has spared us all, I got to give him some glory. Come on. Come on, it's time out for just sitting quietly. I understand, you know, well, that's not how I praise God. That's not what I do. I'm really not an extrovert. I don't care about whether or not you being an extrovert. When you see something good happen, you ought to applause it. When something great happens, you ought to clap for it. When something good happens, you ought to shout thank you. When somebody gives you something, you ought to say thank. That's just common etiquette. If somebody gives you something, you say thank you. So watch. Watch this. Every morning you wake up at 12:01, you get new mercy. That means you ought to say thank you. Y'all don't hit me. But it's all right. It's all right. I really believe we take this thing called life for granted. We take this thing called life for granted because we don't question it. We just go to work every day, and then we come home, we lay down in the bed, and we expect, watch this, to get up the next day. We go to work, we expect to have that job the next day. We expect to go to work, come home safely, eat our food, go to sleep, and start the routine all over again. That's our expectation. And it's only when those expectations are forced to take a detour that we decide to recognize who God is. The minute that expectation takes a quick left turn and you didn't see the left turn coming, that's when we all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute now, let me find God. No. How about if you praise God in the midst of your normalcy, in the midst of what you deem to and what you've come to just expect to be the norm? How about you just praise him in the midst of that? So that way, when the left turn comes quickly that you did not expect, you already know that God is in control. So rather than to get upset, rather than to be hurt and to be dismayed, you just say, you know what, God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Come on, son. Boy, you preaching by yourself. I'm in here by my... Come on now. I really don't think y'all get it sometimes. I really don't think y'all get it. You cannot go through this life. You cannot go through this life just expecting things to just continue to... Because, see, when you set those expectations and then you don't... And then the minute you don't meet them, all of a sudden you come crushing down to the ground. But if you set those expectations with God in headship, come on, I'm in my sermon now. If you set those expectations with God in headship and based off of your expectations, and then if something happens, before you panic, you first say, God is driving. You first say, hold on. If he was with me when it was going good, you know, Psalm 23, You know, if he was with me, if it was going good, yea, though I walk through, come on, the valley. Nowhere in that scripture, come here, David. Nowhere in that scripture did he say, yea, though I stay in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, thou art with me. Come on, some. So even if you happen to make a left turn and your expectation don't, what you thought, your expectations are not met, God is still with you. But see, we because our faith is so lacking, because we are so cynical sometimes, because we just get so used to things just going a certain way, and then because we don't praise him even for the normalcy. It's easy to praise God if all of a sudden you wake up and it's a check in your mailbox for $100,000. Yeah, it's easy to praise God then. But can you just praise God for your regular paycheck, huh? Y'all, don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. That's why I don't understand folk who don't bless their food before they eat. Huh? Because, see, this is my mindset. This is why I bless my food before I eat. I don't care where I am, restaurant, whatever. I'm going to bless mine. You might not bless yours. I'm going to bless. Can I help you? Some folk are one mistake away from eating their last meal. Don't miss that. Some folk are one mistake away, one miscalculation, one bad decision, one bad option, one bad catastrophe away from eating their last meal. So I look at it like this. God, I just thank you for this meal. We expect, you know, the normalcy is, well, I go to work every day, I'm going to eat. I go to work every day, I'm going to eat. That's normal thought, and that's the human concept. But guess what? There are people right now who are hungry who went to work every day. And because of a bad decision, bad financial management, bad bosses, bad jobs, bad people around you, lost everything. Now they're looking, trying to figure out what they're going to eat the next day. So what I say this to say is every time you, God bless you with some, and for those of you who eat all day, man, look, your prayer life ought to be real good. Because if you're eating all day, you ought to be praising God every time you take a, every time you open up a fresh snack. Come on, somebody. I think if we prayed as much as we ate, our prayer life, I don't want to say nothing. I'm just saying, if we prayed as much as we ate, huh? And can I talk about prayer for a minute? Oh, Lord, I thought I wasn't going to do it, but I have to. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You cannot pray. Rewind. There is a method to prayer. I'm not saying you have to pray like some great deacon of the past or some mother from the past. That's not what I'm saying. But when you are praying at home, your private prayer, you can speak to God in a way that's normal for you and just talk to him in a way that's normal. When you're praying publicly, can I talk about it? Can I talk about it? I might as well. Guess what? Call, tell somebody, send a text, do what y'all do. It's quite all right. You cannot pray, God sick them, God get them, God make them take this way, God make them do this way. How about God fix you first? How about pray to God to fix you first before you go praying that God fix everybody else? How about before you start? Because public prayers, guess what? That in that public prayer, you're talking to God. But you're talking to God in front of people. So we need to be mindful of the words we use when we're praying. Because, see, here is the deal. Because, see, your prayer can all of a sudden become antagonistic.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for English. But your prayer can sometimes become antagonistic or attacking it starts to say the very prayer of unity causes a prayer of divide. How you praying for unity and attacking in the same process? Can I help you about where your prayer went? Your prayer came out your mouth and fell at your feet. Never made it to heaven. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feeling. I'm just telling you the truth. If you call yourself praying for unity, and in the process of praying for unity, you insulted 15 people in the room, guess where your prayer went? It fell flat next to your big toe. Nowhere. Nowhere. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you pray, now let me help you. See, first of all, you shouldn't be praying that way anyway. But if that's your prayer, pray that prayer at home in the privacy of your prayer closet. And you keep that between you and God. Don't show. All right, y'all. Look here. Sorry about that. We had an issue with our broadcast. I guess we was giving a little bit too much praise or whatever because our services were our services were kind of interrupted real quick. But we are back. Sorry about that. Those of you on Ustream, I thank you for your patience. Not sure exactly what happened. But again, we are back. We are back. We are back in. And man, look here. You know what? It probably was for the best because I was finna say some stuff and do some stuff. So it's probably for the best. And then I'm getting contacted from these lovely Blog Talk people. Anyway, yes. So look, we have this great stuff we have to do. I'm going to take a break so I can get this stuff settled and get this off here. And we'll be right back, y'all. We'll be right back. All right. We'll be right back. I promise you we'll be right back. Won't be gone too long. All right. Peace.
Because anytime you say
we'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
How many of you know there's something about that name? There's something about that name. I want you to listen to it. Let's let the Lord bless us in this song.
Hopefully we get it together. Hopefully we got it together. Good old Blog Talk. I love when people try to, you know, you can't really chat and talk to the people like you want to. I'm going to finish my statement about prayer, though. I'm back. Thank you. So thank you all for your patience. Those of you on Facebook Live, Facebook Live is back up. Click on the new link. It's Facebook Live. It's today's show, Praise Break Part 2. Just go to the new link if you want to go back there. You're more than welcome to do that. Again, we apologize. I just didn't want y'all sitting there watching me saying nothing while we was doing that. Ustream, I see y'all still there. We're back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate you. All right. I was talking about prayer and how you ask God to help you or to assist you, and in the same breath that you ask him for assistance, you pretty much curse other people in the room. I'll say it again. How do we ask God for prayer and to help us out of a situation and say, God, we're ready for you to lead us? But in the same breath you say, God, we're ready for you to lead us, denigrate, discriminate, and throw hate at other people in the room. So you're not helping. You're not calling for unity. You're not calling for togetherness. You're not doing any of that. The only thing you're doing is spewing more disunity and distrust and making everyone want to go their separate ways and do their own thing. That's what you're doing. And when that happens, how do you think the other people in the room feel when you make the comments you make, and then you stand there and you act like you're standing on the word of God, when in fact, in truth, you standing on a big old pile of heaping fly infested mess. So we got to be really, really careful. Words matter. And when you're preaching, I don't care if you're preaching, I don't care if you're singing, I don't care if you're exhorting to God or if you're praying. If what you're, there's a difference, because see, some folks say, well, don't get mad if you got convicted. No. First of all, you don't convict me. Okay? You don't convict anybody. The word of God convicts. Had you been using the word of God and I got convicted, that's different. But you were using the word of you. You were using the word of you. And the word of you doesn't convict. It just cuts. And then you want to know why people look at you like you're crazy. You want to know why people are standoffish. You want to know why the church ain't growing. I wonder why you take this seriously. Do you really? Because if you took it seriously, I'll say it again. If you took it seriously, you would pray that God guide your tongue before you opened your mouth. Tell it, Facebook it, share it. Some of y'all, you know, that's fine. Y'all might be friends. Share it on Facebook right there. There it is. Part two. They might have missed part two. We cannot continue to want the church to grow, but at the same time we're sowing seeds of, when the church body has decided to sow seeds of unity, a few callous individuals decide to sow seeds of disunity. And if you ain't never had grass but in front of your house before, you notice one thing. Weeds grow up a whole lot quicker than grass does. So some of y'all are planting a bunch of weeds, and your weeds are choking out the actual grass that's supposed to be growing. Don't miss that. And because you're constantly spewing hate, you're spewing disunity, you want to keep people where they're comfortable. You want to keep us where you're comfortable. Because you know the inevitable change that's coming is going to cause you to have to get outside of your comfort level. And it might cause you to get so far outside of your comfort level that two things are going to happen. Either hell going to break loose and I'm going to have to change my habits and my lifestyle, or guess what? I'm going to have to pack my stuff and get the hell on. That's all that's going to happen. One of the two. But because we're so comfortable where we are, and we want to keep things where we are, we fight like hell to keep things exactly like we are. Let me help you out, Christian brother, sister, whoever you are. Let me help you with something. You are no different than the Republicans of this country who want to keep things status quo, who want rich folk to stay rich, poor folk to stay poor, struggling middle class in the middle, stay where you are. Don't you try to come up here where we are. Because we good. And you need to get like us. That's foolishness. utter stupidity if you think that you're going to keep a sect of people downhearted and distraught. You think that's going to happen because of the way you pray and because you can say some words and pretend to mix some Bible in it and thinking God hearing that mess, he's hearing it all right, and then you wonder why your life is in shambles because you're too busy praying that God do something to somebody else. If we spent more time in prayer, privately, if we spent more time in private prayer, maybe the Spirit of God, when you're sitting in a prayer meeting, the Spirit of God would bridle your tongue and keep your lips closed, saying, okay, the prayers you're praying to me at home, that's for me and you. That ain't for the public, so keep your mouth shut when you're in the room with other people. But see, when you have not been discipled, oh my God, when you have not been taught, when you have not been educated, when you have not been learned, I said learned, yeah. If you, when you have not, then you liable to say anything and think you praying. You praying all right. Yeah. And then you're going to correct it. Well, it might not sound like I'm praying. No, you ain't. You ain't praying. No, no. This is why people do not participate in this is why the prayer meeting in some churches has gone astray. Because for one, you have people praying. Then let me talk to my leaders. Let me talk to my leaders. I know some of y'all might be listening, so it's gonna be all right. You stand there in charge. You stand there in charge. These alleged prayers are going forward, and the only people who can't hear them, you got to be dead, deaf, and dumb not to understand the meaning behind these alleged prayers. And then you don't stop them where they are. Guess what? They'll hear about it later, but you can stand on that title that you got. I don't care if you're chairman of the deacon board, chairman of the trustee board, chairman and the president of this, president of the choir. If this mess is going forward, stand on that title that you got. I don't care if it's ceremonial or whatever. If it's in front of your name, stand on it and say, you know what? As the chairman of this or the captain of that, you will not continue that mess in here. You can either sit down, shut up, or go home. Those are your options. Now, I know y'all might not like that, but guess what? Sometimes somebody got to have some order somewhere. Put your foot down and stop allowing people to trot out over other people, to just stomp on other people and walk on other people and say whatever they want to say and think it's okay. I don't care if you're the pastor, the first lady, the mama of this one, the daddy of this one, the daughter of this. I don't care about all that. But you cannot say whatever you want to say and think it's okay. You cannot. Call yourself praying for folk and you in the same breath you praying for folk, you cursing folk. What kind of Christian are you? Well, I've been in church 50 years, and you ain't learned nothing in 50. You've been in church 50 years, ain't learned nothing in 50. And you praying at folk. You supposed to be talking to God, and you praying at folks. How you praying at somebody? You might as well be like a dang on witch or a warlock pointing your finger like, what's the lady in Color Purple? Everything you done to me already done. You might as well do that instead of praying. You might as well, because you ain't, because God ain't hearing you. He hear you, though. He does hear you. Let me correct that. He hears you. And then you wonder why things around you are falling apart. And you look around your church and you want to know why your church ain't growing. Let me help you out. You want to know why your church ain't growing, but yet this is what you're casting out. This is what you're sowing. These are the seeds of dissent that you're sowing throughout the congregation. And you want to know why the church ain't growing. And then leaders, you want to know why people won't come to prayer meeting. That's why they won't come. because that's what's allowed to happen at the doggone prayer meeting. That's why they won't come. So guess what? You either need to fix it or stop asking people to come. Folk attacking people at prayer meeting. What the hell kind of prayer? What kind of prayer is that? What is that? All the stuff going around in this city, and the church supposed to be coming together in unity, and we can't even come together because we praying at this one and praying at that one and praying at this. What happened to praying for somebody? Talking about I come on behalf of this, and I'm calling I'm praying on behalf. Don't bring nobody else to the altar unless you bringing yourself first. We quick to drag everybody else to the altar. Can you drag yourself to the altar? Pour some oil on your own head. Drown yourself. Whatever you drink the oil, do something. Maybe if you drink it, it'll fix your throat area. And maybe what comes up out your mouth might actually be beneficial to somebody versus being hurtful to somebody. We can do better than this, people. We can absolutely do better than this. God expects better than this. But yet, we've been through this before. We've been through that before. And guess what? Because of your actions, because of your behavior, you obviously have not learned. So guess what happens? Cycle. Repeat. Repeat. They still ain't got it? Repeat. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. And if you're not willing to make the changes necessary, leaders, if you're not willing to make the changes necessary, abdicate your authority. Give it up. Show up on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever day you meet with whoever's in charge and say, you know what? I'm not doing my job correctly because I don't want to confront people when they are blatantly wrong. And lay your authority and your title on his or her desk, and then tuck your tail between your legs and go sit down back in the church and sit there. Because that's all you're doing anyway. Sit there. It's time out for that foolishness. We don't pray that we get this, and God, please get, we want this. No, you know what? This is my prayer. God, don't send me or us what we want. Send us who we need. Because, see, you've gotten what you wanted long enough. Now it's time to get what you need. And what you need might not be that great at when you first get it. Gonna hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know how you needed vaccination shots when you was a baby? You needed to have them. And the process of getting them was painful. The after effect is what you needed it for, but the process was painful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know how your car breaks down and you need to get it fixed, and the pain in your heart when the guy come out with the estimate and you see you ain't looking at the last numbers, you looking at the first one, and then you hoping ain't no comma in front of just one number. But y'all don't want to go through the process. What's up, Pastor Parks? God bless you. Y'all don't want to go through the process. Well, man, well, we want this, and Lord, send us what we want. And God, we want. No. Send Negroes what they need. Because some of y'all just need to sit down, and you need somebody that's going to make you sit down and take a look at yourself before you start pointing the finger at everybody else. Well, we want, no. Ain't you tired of getting, you've gotten what you wanted long enough, and getting what you want, look around the room and look at what getting what you want got you. Come on now, look around the room and look at what getting what you want got you. See, sometimes God will give us what we want to teach us a lesson. And until we learn that what we want ain't always what we need, he will keep letting us repeat the same cycle over and over again. Watch this. Hopefully you get it. But by the time you've had to do it three or four times, now it's 20, 25, 30 years later. Now you old, and now you 60, and you just now getting it. Now for 20 years ahead of that, you've wasted your time, God's time. You've hurt tremendous amounts of God's people because you refuse to get a lesson. You refuse to learn the lesson. Needs versus wants. You're absolutely right, Pastor Parks. Needs versus wants. You cannot go through life constantly getting everything you and the, because watch this. By the time you start to get what you need, now you can't serve. Now you 60. Your health is bad. 65, health bad, because you didn't do all the stuff that you needed to do. You just did what you wanted to do. Now when it comes time for you to actually be, now you now don't get me wrong, because we got some saints that's 70 years old that's on fire for God. But guess what? They didn't just get on fire for God. They've been on fire for God. But then you got those who don't get it right or start even making an effort to get it right. And you 60, and now you looking back with regret at your life. We got to do better than that. We got to do better than that. I know we got an article to talk about. I understand. I'm going to get there. I just had to get that off my chest. And I know some folk listening and whatever. Run, tell that. I'll be right here. Call in number 347-934-0546. Have them call me on the show. Don't call my phone on the side. Y'all know that don't work. Y'all know that don't work. Don't that dog don't hunt. Look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's conversation. Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. And we're going to take a break. While we're taking a break, those of you watching on Facebook, I'll make sure you got the article. If you're on my Facebook page, you ought to have the article already. If you're on the TTLO page, the article is there, but I'll post it in the link here, and I'll post it for those of you on Ustream. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, this is going to be good. Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
Total praise.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You are the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I love that rendition. That's a little bit different. That's the one with Donnie McClurkin. That's the one with Donnie McClurkin singing and Richard Smallwood actually on the on those keys, man. That's good stuff, man. Again, that's total praise. That's the Donnie McClurkin version, but that is still Richard Smallwood playing the keys. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff on Praise Break Friday. Let me just make sure I don't miss none of the comments over here. I did load the articles while we were on break. For those of you watching, what's that? Oh, Pastor Park, where's my partner in crime? Which one? You talking about Devon? Man, Devon ain't been here in a minute. He, you know, he got a full-time gig, man. So, you know, he, you know, when he's here when he's available. And everybody else is, you know, working, you know. That's what happens when you partner with pastors. When you partner with pastors, pastors have flocks and congregations and pastoral stuff that they got to do, and they can't always be in here. So, you know, it's all right though. It's all right. But we good. We good. What's up, Brother Marvin Wilson? I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. What's going on? What's going on? That's my old buddy right over there. All right, look, man, we got this. We got this good article, right? Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. This is good. This article is actually part of a website called themusicministrycoach.com. Themusicministrycoach.com. That's where this article is. Again, it's themusicministrycoach.com. And again, it is entitled Five Things Your Praise Team Must Do to Win Over the Congregation. This is good. This is good. Let me start it right off. So he says this. He says, the praise team. Praise teams are nothing new for many denominations, as they've been using praise teams for years. But for many of the African-American churches, having a praise team come forth instead of a testimony service or morning devotion is very much a new thing. And like all new things, many newly formed praise teams are being met with a great deal of resistance from their congregations. He says, today I will share with you five of the most important things I believe praise teams need to do in order to be successful at winning over a congregation. Now, let me say this. Some of you might be listening to this. You may have a praise team, and praise teams have been a part of your church since its inception for some. You know what I mean? For some, praise teams have been a part of your church since its forming. For others, praise teams have only been around for 4, 5, or 6 years. And if you come from a traditional Baptist church background, then praise teams are still somewhat new to you. Let me just say that. If you come from a traditional Baptist church background, praise teams are somewhat still new to you. Because we come from a generation where, and Pastor Parks, you know this very well, we come from a generation where deacons opened up with devotion. You know, the people walked around and anointed the church, and then the deacons of the church went around and started singing what we call Dr. Watts, and that's what they did, and then from there we went into the opening of the rest of the morning worship service. If you are a part of a Baptist church, that was always the Baptist tradition. That was always the Baptist tradition. However, in the last 15 to 20 years, maybe even 20 years ago, because 20 years ago, so 20 years ago would put us in 1996. Somewhere right around that time, about 20 years ago, this thing called praise teams started to happen. Because what we found out was when people started to study, when we started to get more astute in the word, we recognized that some of the things that we were doing were strictly out of tradition and had nothing to do with Bible and getting closer to God. I'll say that again. Some of the things that we were doing had nothing to do with getting closer to God, but were mainly done out of tradition. So when we talk about this thing, we want to talk about it from a point of from where we started to where we are today. All right. So let's go. Five things your praise team must do to win over your congregation. First, choose true praise and worship songs. Choose true praise and worship songs. The writer says this. He says a praise team's job is somewhat different from, say, the choir's job. Praise and worship is really, in a sense, a form of prayer set to music. Mm-hmm. The praise team's main goal is to set an atmosphere that encourages and facilitates praising and worshiping God. As such, you should endeavor to choose songs where both the lyrical content and the musical arrangement encourages and helps the audience to sing along in praise and worship to God. He says, the best praise and worship songs are simple and repetitive. Let me say that again. They are simple and repetitive. These kinds of songs are easy for your audience to learn, which then encourages them to sing along and participate in the praise and worship. Can we stop right there? I know how repetitive songs can be, and I know I got some of my, on my own former praise team people listening. I know how repetitive songs can be. And I know how the thought process of learning new music, and that's wonderful. But praise and worship was never meant to be complicated. Let me put it out like that. It was never meant to be complicated, because what you want to do is have a repertoire of songs. Have a repertoire of songs that when the congregation hears the music, they can then chime in. No, they can't sing every chord. They ain't going to get every note right, but they at least know the lyrics. This is why visual boards are so important in churches. And I know a lot of churches that don't think that they are, that for financial reasons, they don't think it's a good investment, but they are very good when it comes to unifying the church around the word of God. Because if I could see what I'm singing, Not only is it coming to me through hearing, but I'm also seeing it. And now the atmosphere of myself is being changed, because not only am I hearing you, because see, sometimes depending on your sound system, they might not know exactly what you're saying. But if I could also see what you're saying, and now I can put words to melody, can worship with you. Now I can praise God with you. See how that works? Let's go. So the writer says this. He says, praise songs should be mid to up-tempo songs that have a positive vibe musically and lyrically focus on praising and exalting God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. For example, he says, this is a happy up-tempo song that gets the audience clapping and singing along. Amen. Amen. Love it. Love it. Love it. Let's keep going. The writer says this. Worship songs are generally slower and talk more about relationship, closeness, and what God means to us. For example, into your arms, I'm drawing near again to dwell with you is my only heart's desire. The writer says, try to choose songs based solely on their ability to encourage and facilitate praise and worship throughout the congregation. Can I pause? If you're only choosing songs that edify your spirit, my God. If you're only choosing songs that edify your spirit, Then how is God and God, how are God and God's people being edified? Because you could be a lyrical genius. You could be vocally exceptional. And you want to show us all of your skills with all of the runs and staccato and vibrato and all of those things that you can do. But if I'm sitting in the audience and I can't understand all of the runs you're doing and all of the extra things you're doing and the circus you're causing with your voice, if I can't follow that, at least if I could see the words and get some type of understanding so that that thing can then feed into me. He says this. He says, avoid choosing songs because they're popular or they're everyone's favorite. He says, some songs are great, but would work better for the choir, other group, rather than for praise and worship. Let me say this. You cannot take a song that a writer wrote, and he wrote it for a 50-piece choir, and then try to take that same song and give it to your five, where you do not have the same skill of the person who wrote, nor the same skill of those who sung it, and then think because it sounds good, we can do it too. Mm. My. Don't go. Okay. I mean, it's one of those things where we got to recognize. And I know I got some Ustream people that just popped in late. How y'all doing? Say something. I told y'all, when you come in the room on Ustream, I don't care if it ain't your first time. Just say hello in the chat room. Just say hello. It's okay. You probably didn't sign in with a screen name anyway, so you're just anonymous. But at least let me know you're there so I can say something back to you. Talk back to the preacher. Say something. It's all right. Amen. Just say something to somebody. Okay. Same thing for y'all on the Facebook. Those of y'all on the book, y'all got to say something too. Amen. All right, so let's keep going. So the writer says this. He says, number two, and again, we're talking about five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. The writer says this. He says, number two, rehearse and perfect your songs to the best of your ability. Rehearse and perfect your songs to the best of your ability. The writer says, it's very important for praise teams to understand how critical it is that you serve in the highest level that you're able to. Wow. This just on the praise teams. Let me say that real quick. Let me read again. It is very important for praise teams to understand how critical it is that you serve in the highest level that you're able to. He says, praise teams are entirely different animal from the choir. They are an entirely different animal from the choir. He says, usually everyone on the praise team is singing in front of a microphone. Mm-hmm. The songs, although typically more simple than choir songs, are often written with an even greater focus on harmony and overall sound. He says, remember, we're trying to set an atmosphere that encourages praise and worship and facilitates worship, encourages praise and facilitates worship. Then he says, imagine going to a romantic, dimly lit restaurant for an expensive dinner, only to find them playing terrible music over the loud system. Even if the music was your favorite love song, you simply can't get into a romantic mood if it sounded bad. Now, that'll preach by itself. That will preach by itself. You have to make sure that you are singing songs that are right inside your wheelhouse. Stay within your gifting. Stay within your area of expertise. This applies to choirs, too. If you don't have the best musician, or I should say this, if your musicians aren't the best musically, then you need to choose songs that don't require great musicianship. If your choir is lacking first sopranos, then you should not choose songs that require you having two or three first sopranos. That's not a slight. That's just me doing the best of my ability with what I have. Can I give you an example? Let me do this. You have people who we just got through with the summer games, right? With the Olympics. You have people who are very good at the 100-meter dash, right? And you have people who are very good at the 200 meters. And then you have those who are very good at the 400 meters and then the 800 meters. You have people who have won gold medals in the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters for two or three Olympics in a row because that's long distance. That's what they're good at. You would not take your best 5,000-meter runner and put him or her in the 100-meter dash because you know what's going to happen? It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be embarrassing. You don't put your best long distance runner in a race that's going to end in 10 seconds. Don't miss that. So what I'm simply saying is this. Don't put your choir in a position to sound bad. Don't put your praise team in a position to sound bad because of poor song choices. Let's continue. The writer says this. As such, every performance for a praise team should be as good as you can make it. Uh-oh. It should be as good as you can make it. He says, people often misunderstand the need or the importance of perfecting your songs and striving for excellence in your music ministry. Striving for excellence in your music ministry. He says, I talk about that a great deal in my blog. Why is it better to sing in unison than to sing with bad harmony? Oh, Lord. He says, but the important thing to remember is that you want your praise team to simply be a vessel or a conduit through which the Holy Spirit can flow musically. He says, you don't want anything you're doing to be a distraction in that sense. It is absolutely more work to be sure, but the work is well worth it, and you do it if your, or, and he says, and if you do it, your audience will respond. Y'all got that? Don't sit quiet, act like you ain't. Come on, say something. You gotta have some sense of excellence in your music ministry. You gotta have some sense of excellence in your music ministry, because if you don't, things will fall along the wayside. What's up, Pastor Eddie Williams, the good pastor of the Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church on the west side. Wait, man, sent you an email, bro. Waiting to hear from you. Got a chair right here. See this chair sitting here next to me? Come on in here, man. Come on in the room. That's right. That's that new pastor, the brand new pastor of the Metropolitan Baptist Church, has joined us in the chat. I see you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. But it's necessary that we choose music that's in the wheelhouse of the skill set of our singers. You cannot choose songs musically that, you know, just, I'll take a step further. Just because your musicians can play it does not mean that your choir and or praise team can sing it. I'll reverse that. Just because your praise team and choir can sing it, if you don't have the musicians that can play it, either they're going to sing it a cappella or they should let it go. Everybody has to be in tune. Everybody has to be on the same page. You can't have this great, these wonderful gifted musicians and then not put in the same amount of work with the actual singers. You just can't do it that way. It does not work that way. Doesn't work that way. Let's continue. We're talking about this great article. Pastor Rob, Pastor Eddie, if you're still listening, man, if you're still on, jump, chime in, man. Say something. But we're talking about real simple today. We're talking about five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. Five things your praise team must do to win over the congregation. Let me make sure I give you guys a copy of the article again, just in case. Those of you on Facebook Live, let me get that to you real quick, just in case you just got it. Those of you on Ustream, the article is still there. Make sure you got it. Let's keep going. Five things. He says this. Number three, sing your songs often. The writer says this. One big mistake praise teams make is constantly to be doing new material. He says, again, for choirs, this is much more acceptable and even preferred on some level. But effective praise and worship needs audience engagement and participation. That can only happen if you're singing your praise and worship songs often enough so the audience becomes familiar with them. Learn the words and begins to sing along. He says this is another reason why the best in praise and worship songs are simple and repetitive songs. I know how exciting it is to want to learn new music. I know how exciting it is. But, you know, it's wonderful to have musicianship that can follow along and jump in and play the latest gospel recording that you find on 1390, or if you find it on Sirius. It's wonderful if you have musicians and singers who can just pick up a song and learn it. But remember, praise and worship, your job is to get everybody else involved in the service. So just because you can sing like Ernest Pugh or sing like Tone or sing like Marvin Sapp does not mean you know, and just because you can sing all those songs, like here's a song that got worn out by praise and worship teams, right? Here's a song. The presence of the Lord is here. You know, the one by Byron, y'all know Byron Cage, you know, the brother that wear them real tight suits. Byron Cage, yeah. Byron. But y'all know Byron Cage, right? But he sings the song, The Presence of the Lord is Here. That song got wore out by praise teams. But watch this. Everybody in the congregation knows the words to the song. I can guarantee you this. If you've never sang that song as a part of your praise and worship ministry, and you learned that song and rehearsed it and perfected it to the best of your ability, and you then gave that song and presented that song at your next worship service, your whole congregation would go up. Simply because they can relate to the song because it got played 50 million times. They've heard it over and over again. And now here you come. So, yes, it's an old song. Yes, it's all. What is it 10 years old? It probably is. Probably older than that. But however old it is, if you brought it to the table today, it's a song that gets everyone in the church involved. It's no different than back in the day when the choirs were saying, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Everybody knows the song. The whole church, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." Everybody is singing it. Why? Because they know the song. So you have to sing songs that people can relate to. You have to sing songs that people know. Right? Come on, don't act like you don't know. Say something. Don't act like you don't know. So keep going. He says this. A new praise team obviously has to go through a period of learning a lot of new material in order to build up a catalog. But in general, I'd recommend the average praise team be working off a list of no more than about 10 songs that they rotate through and repeat often. He says, doing this helps your audience develop a relationship with the song. They're more likely to participate and sing along to songs they know and hear often rather than new songs they're not familiar with. Now watch this. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, we don't want to keep singing those old songs. That's fine. But he did say build a catalog. There has been so much praise and worship music that has been written and released in the last 15 years. So you should have a catalog of more than 10 songs. And there's so many songs that your congregation knows that you've never sang. So you can dig into the old crates and grab some of that old music and bring it to them. Because it's old song, but new to your church. It's newly presented to your church. So you cannot be afraid to go back and dig and grab that stuff, because if it's going to help elevate the praise and worship service, then it's your job. It's your job to do whatever's necessary to get that congregation involved and to make them more responsive. That's your job. That's your job. We got about 9 minutes left. Nine minutes. Let's see. Number four. Be authentic. Praise and worship God from your heart in every song. Authentic. And praise and worship God from your heart every song. The writer says this. He says, it is an absolute must that every member on a praise team is completely immersed emotionally and spiritually in every song. He said, if it's an up-tempo praise song, everyone should be moving and clapping and praising God while you sing and doing it from a very real place. Uh-oh. Can we pause? Let me say it again. He says, if it's an up-tempo praise song, everyone should be up and moving and clapping and praising God while you sing and doing it from a very real place. We should not be singing songs and just singing them to get through the song, because then you're not doing it from a real place. He says this. He says, if it's a worship song, lift your hands, close your eyes, sing from your heart. He says, because the audience can always tell when it isn't real. He says, but when it's real, it's contagious. Oh, my God. When it's real, it's contagious. He says, if you're choosing the right songs and approaching the ministry prayerfully with a sincere heart, this will happen automatically. So I know you're tired. Praise teams, especially if you are a functioning praise team, because here's the deal. A lot of times pastors will take praise teams with them when they go out before they'll take a choir, because it's a lot harder to get a 25, 30, 40 piece choir to follow you when you can get six singers to go with you somewhere. So a lot of times I know a lot of pastors who take the praise teams with them when they go out. So when you do this, you got to make sure you have people who are sincere about what they do and not just doing it because it's that time of the service. Let me sing these two songs and sit down. Because if you come with that attitude, then it's going to be shown, and then you'll look out and then you'll be the first one to say, why they ain't clapping? Maybe you ought to say, how come I ain't singing better? How come I ain't worshiping better? How come I'm not giving him my all? Because watch this. If you're not paying attention to them, and if you're singing up there and you're focused on him, instead of looking at the people in the audience and the frown on their face, stare at them hard enough until you see Jesus. Come on, somebody. Ooh, that'll preach. Stare at them long enough until you can see the Jesus in them, and then sing to the Jesus in them. Come on. Wake up the Jesus in them. Stir up the gift. My God. Stir up the gift that is in them. So maybe if you start off by stirring up your own gift, that's why it's so important that you pray before you get before God's people. Don't make me go back and rewind the show to the beginning. That's why it's so important that you pray at home before you come to church praying in front of God's people. Because then if you pray at home and build a relationship with God, God will then give you the words and the right stuff to say. Come on. Come on. What we got? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oof. Be patient with God. That's number five. Again, we're talking about this is really good. Five things your praise team must do to win over your congregation. Number five, be patient with the congregation. The writer says this: as we said at the beginning of the article, many churches are just recently making the switch to using a praise team. He says, none of us like to see old, familiar things replaced, especially when we didn't see anything wrong with the old way. As such, it's quite likely that even if you're doing everything above to the letter, you simply won't get much involvement or participation from the audience for a while. You must see that as normal and to be expected. So just because you form this wonderful group of singers and y'all can sing and harmonize with the best of them, don't think that you're automatically going to be accepted in a group of people who have yet to even recognize what you're doing in the first place. Because if they've been in a churched mentality for 35 or 40 years where they're used to somebody singing about, I wonder if the lighthouse will shine, if that's what they're used to, and then all of a sudden, here you come talking about the presence of the Lord is here, and they're sitting there looking like, huh? What? That's when you have to be patient enough and humble enough to then teach them. Say, you know that light? I wonder if the lighthouse will shine. That's when you got to be strong enough in your word to tell them that the light you're talking about is the very presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody. You can get that to fit now. You can get that so that they say the very thing you sung about. Just like we sing, I know it was the blood. We can turn around and sing, his blood still works. And they can still relate, but it's going to take some time to get to that. Amen. He says this. Whatever you do, do not scold, reprimand, or guilt, or otherwise try to force your audience to participate in praise and worship. You will undoubtedly get frustrated as you go forth every Sunday, giving your best while the audience looks on almost defiantly sometimes. He says, the worst thing you can do, however, is to lash out or say negative things in efforts to get them going. Amen. And this is a learned thing because we're all excited. When we're on the praise team, we sit there and we giving our best praise and we giving God our best praise. And we wondering why people are sitting there looking like we got a fifth and a sixth eye, a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth eye on our forehead. And you want to hash out and say, you know, cause trust me, there have been times I've been sitting there singing or exhorting or opening up the service and folk is looking there just and I'm in worship and I can sense the very presence of God. And I look out and I see folk just sitting there. And I've been times I wanted to get on the microphone and say, what the hell is wrong with y'all? There have been times, trust me, there have been times. There have been times. But I had to recognize that it's not about my time. It's about God's time. And God will move in them when he's ready. And then this, they have to be receptive to it. And you're more receptive to love than you are to scorn and condemnation. I'll say that again. You're more receptive to love than you are to scorn and condemnation. Let's go. Let's continue. He says, instead, continue to simply choose great songs. Continue to simply choose great songs. Perfect them to the best of your ability. Sing them often and be sincere and real every time you get up. Watch this now. Most important part of this whole article. Never sing for the audience. I'll read that part again. Never sing for the audience. Because if you do, you'll always be tied emotionally to what they're doing or not doing. Can I interject some of my own stuff in here? Never preach for the audience. Never pray for the audience. The writer says, sing your songs to the glory and the honor of God. Glory, honor. Meaning if you're singing to honor him, you ought to be honoring him with what? Your absolute. Then he says, sing your worship to him. Sing your praises to him. He will in turn work through you to reach your audience. He says, before long, they'll start standing, singing, praising, and worshiping God together with you. Just be consistent, be patient, and be positive. Oh, my God. This is good. Hey, look, if you go to this website, go to the website that I sent, the link that I put out on Facebook. At the end, he says, there's 12 more articles just like this. He has an ebook called Praise Team 101. Praise Team 101. And man, it's an ebook that's out there right now, and you can get it. And it has the exact same types of articles, same type of conversation, and you can follow right along with what it is he's talking about. And man, I would even go so far as to suggest you order this and get some copies for your praise team. I really would. I would just suggest you get a copy of it. It's $10. It's $10. Y'all will spend $10. Y'all will lose $10 and not know where it's at. Here's something where you can spend $10 and know exactly where it went. And know exactly where it went. So yeah, matter of fact, let me go on here. Y'all know how I do. anytime I see a good book worth getting. Let me click once. Mm-hmm. Come on. Get on in that PayPal. Click once. This is good. I read any and everything I can. This is good. Let's see. Yep. Pay now. Pay right now. There it is. Boom. Done. Got my copy. Oh my God. All right. So we are good. Look, y'all, it's been a wonderful show, man. I really hope you guys got something out of this show. I hope, you know, in my prayer is that even in my excitement and my passion about prayer, that you understood what I said when I said, when you're praying publicly, you need to be praying and honoring God and not be attacking at the same time you're trying to unify. I really hope you got that, because when we're talking with God, we ought to be praying that God not only redeem us, not only change our hearts, But before you ask God to change the heart of somebody else or another individual, pray that God would change you. So, Father God, we come right now, Lord, just saying thank you. God, we thank you for who you are, who you've been, who you continue to be, and who you'll be even greater on tomorrow. God, we thank you for this show. God, we thank you for the listeners of this show. God, we thank you for the watchers of this show, those who emailed, God, those who participated in whatever way, whether you stopped in for a minute, whether you stayed for the whole time, whether you just stopped in, even for those who stopped in to spy and go and tell somebody about it, God, we thank you anyway. Because, God, even if they were here for only a moment, if they got something good that resonated about your word, then, God, so go, then so be it. Let them go forth. God, we're so forever grateful for who you are. We're grateful for everything that you do in our lives. We are, and we just thank you for who you are. God, we ask that you would change us first before we point the finger at anybody else. We ask that you would change our hearts before we ask you to change the hearts of anybody else. And then, God, on behalf of myself and my church, my prayer is that you don't send us the pastor that we want. Send us the pastor that we need. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, y'all, hey, that's it. I got to go. I know I missed an email. Let me see here. Woo, Lord. Oh, Lord. I sure did miss this. How did I miss that email? Let me read this real quick. I got a few minutes. Let's see here. Oh, Mama McCurdy. Don't be mad, baby. I missed it. I'm sorry. It says, boy, you ain't said nothing but a word when it comes to prayer. We are praying for a new pastor. You can pray until the heavens open up and he comes down and said it's enough. But if there's no unity, not one accord, and no obedience, and not willing to make a change and follow the pastor, then what is the purpose of having a new pastor? Amen. 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 And I'm going to leave it at that. Hey, if you're in the city of Chicago, man, keep your head on a swivel. And y'all stay blessed. And I'm going to say this again. And I'm going to say this, and I said it on behalf of myself and for my church. God, don't send us the pastor we want. Send us the pastor we need. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO. I'm out of here. And, hey, if you got a few minutes, I'm going to close out with some praise music. So go ahead and just give God a little bit of praise. Matter of fact, we're going to go out with a little blessed. Let's go. See y'all.
Peace. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison doors was shaken. And immediately everyone's bands were loosed. All we really want you to know tonight is when you find yourself in a midnight hour, and if you haven't, baby, you will. There are two principles that will guarantee your success. Number one, pray. Why? The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous man avail much. When you get up off your knees, if you believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly, according to all that you ask of him, according to the power that's already working in you, then you lift your hands and give him praise. Why? Because he's well. He's well in the midst of your praise.
Are y'all tired way back there? I thought y'all be going home by now. Y'all. Well, for those of you that come from the nice church that don't get all this loud, allow me to translate what she just said. Late in the midnight hour,
God's calling us under the rug.